life itself, and all the things that he does for us.
And my hope is that we have all come here today for one reason, that is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus says in John 4:24, that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And therefore, it is my sincere hope that our assembly today is one that is in spirit and in truth. And so, in Ephesians chapter 5, I know y'all have a time limit. I'm a long-winded preacher. You can tell that by the expressive juncture here, right? That I can go if you let me. But I'm going to abide by the rules today and try my best to share with you a message that I've been working on for a few weeks now, where I've been preaching in the city of Atlanta. I've been working with this lesson I'm not the preacher there, I fill in occasionally. But in chapter 5, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love." That's the title of the subject. That's the subject title. Walk in love, walking in love, or walk in love. "As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, with any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So my subject title is Walking in Love. And my objective is to show that we, as children of God, our course of life, the manner in which we ought to live, is one that should be of love and in love because of what Christ did for us. Listen to the text again in verse number 2. Now, verse number one is where we're going to lay our foundation, but I want you to see clearly why walking in love is the absolute in which children of God ought to live their lives. He says here in the text, "And walk in love as Christ." So if all of us are to, if all of us are members of the body of Christ, if we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the essence of our lives, the manner in which we live, the objective of how we see ourselves and how others should see us is one that is modeling Christ. Because Paul says, after he says, "Be ye therefore," he says, "followers of Christ." And therefore, the followers of Christ, he says, are to walk in love as Christ has loved us. So because Christ has loved us, we, as children of God, ought to walk in accordance to the way Christ walked, and that is in love. The reason why is because God is love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So he says here, then he says, be ye therefore. Now therefore, what that does is, that is the conclusion of what he talked about in chapter 4. In chapter 4, he tells us a lot of things there. But what I want to do is, I want to go, before we go there, I want to look at chapter 1, because chapter 5 and chapter 4 uses the terminology or the word therefore. And so when he's looking at it, he's talking about therefore. Now therefore in chapter 4 is the conclusion of what was said in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then chapter 5 is the conclusion of what was said in chapter 4. So the totality of both of those therefores are inclusive of 1, 2, 3, and 4. All right. Because if we're going to walk in love, we can't just stay on chapter 1. We can't just stay on chapter 2 or section out chapter 1 or chapter 2 or chapter 3 or chapter 4. We have to combine the entirety of all of those, because in chapter 4 he talks about a new man. He talks about a man that is renewed in his spirit. And if we are renewed in our spirit, then it's going to allow us to walk in love.
Amen.
And that's the objective of God, of life as a child of God. But I want to show you some things because sometimes as children of God, we don't feel good about ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
And so what I want to do is lift us up. Because that's what Paul does. Paul lifts up members of the body of Christ. Because of the fact that we go through things on a daily basis, we deal with all kinds of stuff in our lives, on our jobs, in our families, all over, that we have some things that really take us from experiencing life the way that God wants us to experience and feel. We talked about this morning. In the introduction of our Bible class, the Bible says that Paul's introduction was grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the activity from grace and peace is joy. Every child of God, no matter what the circumstances are, should experience every single moment of the day, even in trials, joy. Every child of God. But we don't. And the reason why we don't is because there's a phrase I took it from somebody.
It's all right.
In chapter 4, I believe somewhere around about verse 19, he talks about taking off the old man and putting on the new man. And now I phrase it, the before man and the after man. And so many times we are always stuck in the before man, and we should be living at all times in the after man.
Amen.
And so what I want to do is show us that we can always live in the after man if we appreciate what I mentioned this morning, the benefits of being a child of God. And so let's look at some of those benefits. And when I was going looking at my notes while I was sitting there, I said this morning that predestined was not one of my chosen benefits, but it is. So y'all forgive me. Amen. And so let's turn over to chapter 1 and just go through these things. I'm not going to take long. I just want to share a few things with you right quick. And so in chapter 1, Paul, as he admonishes us to walk in love, just as Christ loved us, chapter 1 tells us that we are blessed.
Yes, sir.
With all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places or in the church. Everyone that is a member of the body of Christ, everyone that is in the church, receives all spiritual blessings. No matter what, no matter how long we've been here.
All right.
You see, because sometimes we can deny each other the blessings that belong to us.
Amen.
You know, we push people to the side. We don't allow them to do things. We, you know, because they haven't been here, but, you know, 5 days or 20 years. You know, we have all of these things. We don't want them cooking spaghetti.
Uh-oh, what's
that? There's all kinds of things that we do to take away from someone exercising their ability to walk in love. And those things are not ours to take away. And so Paul says here in the text, he tells us that we as children of God are recipients of all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And the first one is that we talked about this morning, is that we have been chosen. So look at verse number 4 in Ephesians chapter 1. We have been chosen. God chose us. That's a blessing. That's a benefit for all of mankind to be a part of a family that has been chosen by God. Number 2 is in verse number 5. It is, we have been predestinated. And so that, in other words, God has predestined our direction and our end. I mentioned this morning that God made a plan, and on that plan, if we're going to make it to heaven, we have to follow that plan. Amen. And if we don't follow that plan, destruction is our end. And so we are predestinated. And Paul says here in verse number 5, he also says that we have been adopted. Isn't that wonderful? To know that God has adopted us as his children in his family. He has adopted us. Then number 6, number 4 is in verse number 6. He says that we have been accepted. Think about that for a moment. A lot of people don't accept us in this world. There are places where some folk cannot go because they are not accepted. But we have a blessing, a benefit from God that God has, that no matter how we are, no matter what we've done, God has accepted us in the beloved.
Amen.
And the beloved is Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
He looked at Jesus, and he saw us sinners.
Yes, sir.
And he said that I'm going to accept them if you die for them. Amen. What a benefit, what a blessing to be accepted by God, even if everybody that we come in contact with says, I don't want you around. Those are things that make us rejoice. Those are things that keep us joyful. You see, grace and peace, the end result of that is joy. And so to know that God has chosen us, to know that God has predestinated us, to know that God has adopted us, to know that God has accepted us, that's something to rejoice about. Amen.
Amen.
Amen? Why should we walk around in this world feeling down, feeling sad, always disgusted by ourselves because we didn't do this or we didn't do that right? Instead of looking to the plan, the roadmap of life that allows us to see us as a special people. Mm. Oh, well, y'all don't know we special? Can you go get for me?
Sir.
2 Peter chapter 9. I want to show you that you're special. If you don't realize how special you are, 2 Peter chapter 2, and verse number 9. What does the Bible say?
The Lord. Knoweth who to deliver the godly out of temptation.
Wait, I don't think I gave you the wrong. Maybe it's 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me get there. Sometimes I forget about things. 1 Peter chapter 2. Sometimes I forget.
That's all right.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Watch this now. I want you to see this right quick. And I got 15 minutes. I'm going to try to bring this airplane to a landing. Come on and read. Watch this now. Read.
But ye are a chosen generation.
Peter says, but ye are. Now, then he said the same thing Paul said, that we, the first blessing or benefit that Paul tells us is that you are chosen.
Generation.
Peter says that you are chosen.
Yes.
You are a chosen generation. Read.
A royal priesthood.
Watch this now. Royalty.
Yes.
Yeah. Look here. The Queen of England, who just passed, everywhere she went was considered royal ground. Even when she went to the bathroom. I want you to marinate on that for a moment. Everywhere she went, she carried the symbol of royalty. Now, what did God just say about us? Ye are a royal generation.
Chosen generation.
Everywhere we go. Royalty. You see who we are? Sometimes we don't know who we are. We forget who we are. We are a special people.
All right, preacher.
Because we have been accepted in the blood. We have been accepted in Christ Jesus. By God, who created everything and who provides all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so we are special. Keep on reading. Watch what it says.
Holy nation.
A holy nation.
A peculiar people.
Peculiar people. Not that we look different. We're peculiar because of who we serve. A peculiar people. And so therefore, we should never ever walk around this life. I know kids get on our nerves. Husband get on our nerves. Wife get on our nerves. Job gets on our nerves.
I'm retired.
These things bother us, but they shouldn't strip us of our joy.
Amen.
They shouldn't strip us of our joy. Why? Because God has provided us with the benefits and blessings of life.
Amen.
So that we, at all times, can be at peace and experience the joy that He wants us to experience. Let's go back over to our text in Ephesians chapter 1. Watch what he says. In verse number 7, if you get to verse number 7, the Bible says that we have been redeemed. We have been redeemed. God paid the price for us. We didn't have to go to the bank. We didn't have to go anywhere to pay for our redemption. Jesus died on the cross so that we can have eternal life. What a blessing. What a blessing. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. In the heavenly places. In the church. So always, at all times, no matter what goes on here, stay in the church.
Yes, sir.
Stay. It's going to be tough sometimes.
Yes, sir.
It's not going to feel good sometimes. There are going to be disagreements sometimes.
Yeah.
It's going to be heartache sometimes. But if you want your benefits.
We made a point this morning that no one, you know, when you get your job, you know, you go through, you sit down with HR, and you go through the benefits, and you don't just pick and choose the ones that you want. You don't say, well, you know, that pension plan that y'all got, I don't want that one.
Right.
I think by the time I get 65, I'm going to be set. Because I'm going to hit that lottery. Amen? We don't do that. Then why do we, when it comes to our salvation, pick and choose the benefits? Amen? We pick and choose the benefits. You know, one day we want to have just forgiveness. Next day, we want to be accepted. The Bible tells us, Paul says in verse number 3, all spiritual blessings are in the church, in Christ Jesus. Continuing on, number 7, number 6 rather, is we have been forgiven of our sins. Amen?
Amen.
We have been forgiven of our sins. How big is that? How monumental is that? That when we stand before the throne of God, when this life is over and we have been faithful unto death, that our sins will be remembered no more. Yes. Because they have been forgiven as a benefit or blessing from God to those who obey the gospel. Yeah.
Amen.
Then, verse number 9, I see what I did. I added one, subtracted one, but that's okay. Verse number 9, God lets us know the mystery of his will. Amen? Just think about that for a moment. We have it better than David did. Than Moses did.
Yeah.
And David was a man after God's own heart. Why do we have it better? Because while they searched diligently for an understanding about Christ, we now can understand the knowledge of Christ. Yeah, that's a benefit, that's a blessing that they didn't have. And so we need to, these are things that Paul is trying to do to get us to see how wonderful it is to be a child of God. Now let's go to chapter 2. Now I'm going to run through this real quick. Chapter 2, Paul tells us that at one time we were dead in our trespasses and sin,
but now
have been made alive, and that we now sit in the heavenly places in Christ, and that we are saved by grace, and that we will receive, watch this now, we will receive an inheritance. Yes, we will receive an inheritance, and that's the most blessed, that's the end of life's journey. The end of life's journey, can you go back over to, this time, 2 Peter, chapter 1, and then I'm going to close. I need to go to chapter 3, y'all gonna have to invite me back. I'm gonna just put it out there.
Okay.
In verse number 1, because there's a lot of stuff, you can't do it in 30 minutes.
That's right.
There's a lot of stuff in here
But I just wanted to lay a foundation. I want to lay this foundation so that you can see how wonderful it is to be a child of God.
Amen.
And the blessings that are associated. No one, I say this all the time, no one turns down benefits but members of the Church of Christ.
Amen. That's true.
No. We don't. Now let's do this so I can make this clear this up. As members of the Church of Christ, how do we turn down benefits? We turn down benefits by not staying in accordance to the plan.
Okay.
The benefits as members of the Church of Christ in the physical world, we do not turn down benefits because on our jobs, we want everything. We want raises, we want insurance, we want retirement, we don't turn them, we want vacations, we don't turn those down. You see where I'm going? You see the difference? When we sin, we turn down benefits. When we sin,
Amen.
We turn down benefits. When we sin, we reject benefits. You see the difference? Now, let's do this, and then we're going to close. Chapter 2, verse number 1, what does the Bible say? I mean, chapter 1, verse
3.
Second Peter, chapter 1.
Verse number 1, 3.
You can start at verse 3.
According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge.
That's not what I want. I told y'all sometimes I get to it. Okay, I'll be First Peter. I'm going to close in a minute. I'll be First Peter chapter 1. All right, that's what I want.
Let's read verse 3.
Blessed be the God. Blessed be the God.
The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again
unto a lively hope
by the resurrection of Jesus Christ
from the dead. Read.
To an inheritance.
Watch this now. So we have an inheritance.
Incorruptible.
Watch this now. Here's something about the inheritance. This is something that we should hang our heads on. This is something that we should all marinate on day and night. Because this is the thing that keeps us hopeful. This is the driver that takes us to retirement age. We get the benefit, we get a pension. If we stay on our job long enough to retire, we get a pension. If we stay in the word, if we stay faithful unto death,
yes, sir.
We receive retirement pay.
Yes, sir.
And retirement pay is eternal life.
Amen.
Now watch this now. Read.
To an inheritance.
Incorruptible. Now watch this now about the inheritance. Hold on a minute. In the world, you can lose your retirement when you are dealing with folk who are unscrupulous.
Come on, preacher.
On your job.
Yes, sir.
And this is why it is important that we stay with God. Because the text tells us about our inheritance. He says that it is what? Read.
Incorruptible. And undefiled. And that
fadeth not away.
Reserved in heaven. In heaven for you.
Read.
Who kept by the power of God.
By the power of God.
Through faith unto salvation.
By the power of God. In other words, nobody, nowhere can take it
away.
Yes. Nobody. so therefore. That's why Paul says, therefore. I want to tell you these things so when you get over here to chapter 5, instead of you walking like this, you're going to be walking.
Come on, preacher.
In love. Because by that time, by the time you get to chapter 4, Paul is going to tell you to take off that old man.
Yes, sir.
The one that you went back and got. You know, when the person slapped you or said something nasty to you, that person, Paul says, I want you to take that old man off. Because that's the before man. I want you to be the after man, the man that is after God and his righteousness. So that when you see that person, you'll be able to walk in love just as Christ walked in love. So that you can at all times express what God has given to you. Grace and peace. It's the end result of that. Is joy. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you never hear the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How he came out of this earth, was buried and rose the third day. You have to leave every part of your heart. Then you must repent of your past sins, and you must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, before man, and give yourself over to water and baptism, becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you will be a recipient of all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. God will add you to the only church that you can read about in the Bible. If you're here and you're a child of God, in some way you have not been walking in love. You decided, I don't need these benefits. They'll be around. I'll pick them up one day. God says no. Because we don't know the time nor the hour when the thief is going to come. Amen.
Amen.
Did anybody leave their doors open?
No.
Unlocked?
No.
Windows open?
Yeah, sometimes.
Leave the alarm off? Have a big old neon sign that says, it's free?
No. No, nothing's free.
We lock it up.
No salvation.
So let's lock up our salvation and continue to be the afterman that walks in love because he has renewed his spirit in Christ Jesus. If you have any need, you come as we together stand and sing the Savior's invitation.
6:13. Have you been to Jesus for the